we talk about introducing golf to your children, but another golfer who's in the news today started at an early age, even before he was a year old, according to his dad, and that's Tiger Woods.
Oh my God.
And for the record, I must say here, Tiger Woods was involved in a single car crash this past Tuesday, causing several injuries to both of his legs, putting in doubt his ability to play professionally again. And we just heard yesterday that in surgery, they put a pin in his right leg, and then his ankles were crushed, and then he had to do some work on his left. So everybody's thinking about him these days. So I just needed to put that in for the record for those who will listen back to this. It's a pretty sad story.
It is sad. Well, I always took my team to Stanford to play in tournament. And when Tiger was there, some of the girls on the team and Tiger all played in junior tournaments together. He would come out on the golf course and cheer everybody on, the sweetest guy in the world. Yeah. Just tragic.
Oh, that's interesting. You remember him at Stanford.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, when he came to Tulsa to play, and was it the Open or the PGA when he played? I can't remember. Anyway, he had all the Tulsa girls and the Tulsa guys over to the hotel, and they just, you know, he was still a kid. He was young, you know, 21, whatever.
Yep.
And every time I'd see him, he'd say, hey, coach, you know, he's just so nice.
Oh,
yeah, it's tragic.
Yeah. Is there a female golfer who has dominated the way Tiger did?
Boy, you stumped me. Nancy is close.
Yeah.
But modern day, I don't think so. I think Nancy is as close, and she was great.
Well, she got the attention of everybody like Tiger did, so there's a similarity there.
Yeah, they both have a foundation for young golfers and all, which you don't hear about a lot. That's great. You know, they keep their hand in the game to help others.
And then Melissa plays for you. Was that difficult as a mother coaching her?
Oh, we laugh now about her freshman year. Because I was so concerned that I would show any kind of favoritism and so on, and I made it too tough on her. But we got through it. It was wonderful to watch her progress and to play and to become such a leader. She was very much the leader of the team. No, it was a blessing. She majored in marketing and business. One course, she had an exam in a couple of days, and she was final exam, and she was sweating it out. Now she's living in an apartment with another friend, and I come up there, knock on the door, and it's about 8 o'clock in the morning, and I knew she was studying, and I said, this will get you through, and I handed her a little bottle of Bailey's Irish Cream. And we laugh about it to this day. I said, oh, wow, I broke every rule in the book. She had a wonderful time in college, and I encouraged it because one does not live by golf alone. She was a member of Chi Mega, an officer, and did her deal. And she had a wonderful time in college, and she had a wonderful time as a pro.
Right. You know, I was just thinking here, it's unusual that this talent is transferred to the next generation. That doesn't always happen.
No, it does.
But it obviously happened here.
You know, when you get the first mother and daughter this, or the first mother and daughter, they awarded that. And we look at each other and shake our heads and think, good gosh, you know, this is really, because it kind of knocks you in the jaw and thinking, wow, this just doesn't happen a lot.
No.
It's been just absolutely wonderful to see her career. She's happily married, and her coaching life has just been phenomenal.
Yeah, I want to get into that here. She spent 11 years on the tour, so that shows how strong she was.
And she had to quit because her feet were terrible.
Hmm.
And that got to a place that it was painful. She called me. She said, Mom, I said, get off the golf course.
Hmm.
That it was time for me to retire. I knew there would be a time and said, that's it. And I talked to her. I said, come with me to Nationals out in Oregon. and she did. And I kind of turned a few things over to her. Her rapport with the girls was perfect. And I thought, there's her next coach. Everything worked out, and she coached for Tulsa, and she did really well. Then Arizona State coach called, and she said, I wouldn't even talk to her until I talked to you, Dale, but we would love to have her as our head coach. I said, well, that's her decision, and it's a wonderful opportunity, and at the time, it was a top job. So off she goes to Arizona State. She won her national championship there.
2009, she won the national title.
But she walked into a program that was really in sad shape because their head coach had had a horrible accident and couldn't really coach anymore. It took her about 2 or 3 years to get that going. And she did. She built it up. They lived up in Cave Creek. It was an hour to work and an hour back. The commuting was terrible. And all of a sudden, Auburn called, and bingo, they flew her out there. And I mean, have you ever been to Alabama, John?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's the most beautiful little college town, and the university is absolutely gorgeous. They romanced her like you wouldn't believe. Oh, and she, again, has taken a program where their coach, terrible recovery, but did recover from very serious cancer. Melissa walked in there, and by God, she brought this program back up again. And they're just doing great. They were in the semifinals, the NCAA last year. Yeah, she's happy, and she'll retire there. She loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about.
Interesting, you asked me if I've been to Auburn. Just as an aside, my granddaughter, Emma, and her father, David, she's looking at colleges right now, and so they went to Auburn last week.
Oh, really?
And then they went to Ole Miss. Now they're going to look at Kansas and OU. So I just have, as an aside, that they liked Auburn and enjoyed the campus there as well.
Great. Well, it's one of the friendliest. It's just cool. It really is. Plus the fact she doesn't have to raise money. They've got plenty of money.
Okay. To show you how strong Melissa was, she was inducted into the Women's Golf Coaches Association Player Hall of Fame in 98, the WGCA Coaches Hall of Fame in 2014, and the University of Tulsa Hall of Fame in 2000. You know, just because she was a good player doesn't mean she'd be a good coach, but she was a good coach as well.
Absolutely. She has what it takes to understand this game. It's a game that requires, first of all, a lot of respect and a lot of dignity. I always told my players, I said, if you treat the game of golf like you would a boyfriend, where there's respect, there's dignity, there's discipline, there's arguments and get over it, but it is almost a living thing to play a decent game of golf.
Mm-hmm. Would she ever ask you for advice as a coach?
Oh, yeah. That's what I was talking about. You know, she'll call and say, I've got this situation or that situation. But I never try to offer it to her. My gosh, she's a veteran now.
Yeah.
Coaching. But, yeah, we still talk. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, you know.
All right. Does she have children?
No, they do not.
I tried playing golf. I walked around depressed so much, and the greatest day in the world is when I threw my clubs in the lake, and I've never been depressed since.
It'll do that to you.
Right. I played where I lived in North Dakota and then in Omaha, Nebraska, and when I got here, I said, I'm not going to do that anymore, and Tulsa's been a wonderful place to live because I did not play golf.
God. Right.
But, you know, I see these athletes. They're great in other sports. And then you hear about them playing golf, and they're good at that, too. Is there something about being a good athlete?
Yeah, I think, well, a good athlete has self-control. You know, that's one thing. I think the football, you know, like Fitzgerald from the Cardinals, he's a wonderful golfer. But to be able to have that individual satisfaction of hitting a good shot and nobody blocking for you, nobody passing, you know, you and you alone are out there. And that's fascinating to a good athlete who's on a team.
Yeah.
It's so different. It's so totally different.
I remember when I was playing golf, we could have a really bad round, but somehow that last shot of the day was a good one, which always brought you back.
You bet. And I always tell the girls, come off the golf course, I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about your 10 best shots. I don't care what you shoot. I want to hear about your 10 best shots. Then we'll talk about the bad shot later on. But right now, I want you to implant your 10 best shots. I tell you one thing, we talk about things and so on. My dad, he said, I want you to hit it like a man and walk like a lady. And that is the first thing when I'd have a first team meeting with my team.
That's great.
That, and I said, there's two things you're going to have to do. Never throw the flag pin down. Lay it on the ground. I said, you're a guest wherever you play. And you treat that golf course nicely. Do not slam that pin down. I hate that more than anything in the world.
Yeah. I remember playing with a guy that took notes.
Oh, yeah.
He had this little notebook at the end of the round. He'd be standing over there taking notes. I said, Frank, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm taking notes on things that I should be practicing on. I couldn't believe it.
Well, not only that, but you take yardages and different things you want to do on a hole. Everybody has their notebook. We'd have a meeting before the first round. We'd pass those books around to each other. I'd say, write something funny on whatever hole. Just write something about your teammate and then do it around. Well, it was so much fun to get out of the golf course and they'd open up like the third hole. It was a riot to see them laugh and kind of break the ice.
That was a great idea.
Yeah.